Joe, it is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Highland. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale. One location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
Well, it's been a while. I haven't talked to him. Some of what he's been talking about, though, he always stays busy with everything going on with the Miami Dolphins. Omar Kelly, Miami Herald Dolphins columnist. Omar, nice to get a chance to talk to you, man. It's been a while. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Joe?
I'm hanging in there. Not bad. Here for the rest of summer, waiting and seeing what it's going to look like. Hey, I've been getting hit with all kinds of stuff. I'm going to share some of it with you because it had a little bit to do with Rasul Douglas. I thought of you yesterday when Rasul Douglas had a really, really good season for the Dolphins. He did. For a guy Absolutely. That came in, he and Jack Jones, I had no problem. And Rasul, a couple interceptions, played 15 games for you. And those guys didn't come in to go 401k. They played as hard as they could. It was good. He's going to Washington. So I was asked this question. So what if we have all these young guys and we find out they can't play at an NFL level? And I'm not talking in camp, but down the road, and you're going, wow, we got guys getting mm-hmm. picked on that just can't play, and we can only cover up so much. What do you do at that point? Is it just go with the growing pains, and what do you think this team will do, I should say?
Waiver wire, I'm pretty sure there'll be a veteran out there like Rasul Douglas at free agency if we approach the exhibition season and we realize it's not a good product from a cornerback position. But truthfully speaking, they want to go young. They want to invest in young players. They actually know Rasul Douglas. They know him personally.
Yes.
Because they've coached him. So so they were pretty sure that they didn't want him to be part of this organization or the locker room. Just because they want the opportunity to create their own culture and honestly don't want veterans influencing the young players. That's just the reality of it.
It's got to be the right guy for sure. I totally agree with you because they did know Rasul Douglas from his days from Green Bay from before.
Yeah.
So Juju Brents and Storm Duck and Jason Marshall mm-hmm. and Ethan Bonner and Chris Johnson, who will play, first-round pick. Yes. We didn't get to see much of Baker. I think he was banged up, who they picked up. Mm-hmm. But can we find – I mean, they're going with that
he's
group.
He's guaranteed $1 million, so yeah. I think he's pretty safe. But, yeah. It's not can we go with that group? We have no choice. Now, the question is, I think last training camp, Dolphins lost 3 cornerbacks.
Yeah, they did real quickly.
And it happened bang, 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 bang.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, and that's why we went the route of addressing with veteran cornerbacks. And, you know, 2 of them ended up becoming starters. And realistically, the only reason probably Jack Jones started was because Ethan Bonner got hurt because Ethan Bonner was going to be the season opening starter before I believe he suffered an ankle injury.
Yeah.
Right now, you know, I think Juju is probably the most talented of the cornerbacks, but he's got to stay healthy. That hasn't
That's
been
a
the
big
case.
Thing. Yeah. That's been the big yeah, one right. that has. Hey, yeah. Let's talk about always a hot topic. Most promising building block player for this team, and somebody wrote an article you probably saw, Chop Robinson going into year 3, and I'm like,
yeah,
man, I mean, I get it. He's a first round pick, he's in year 3, he's been around, but what's your take on
that? Is not that is that would not be my answer for most promising building block. I would probably put Patrick Paul as
me too
the most promising building block.
I would go there too, the upside of our left tackle.
Who I would say next, I don't know.
Now building block. So we got veteran guys that are really good right now.
No. That's a building block based on your favorite thing, which is draft status. So I'll say yes.
High draft status. High draft pick status. Yeah, I like the high draft pick status.
Yeah, guys. You do. You love that high draft status. Chop had a good camp. Chop showed some talent and some ability versus Keon Smith, who got released. Chop sent him to the unemployment line.
Yeah.
How much can I take that as yeah. Chop's ready to turn up and turn on? I have no idea. The ability is there. So we've seen him be a pass rusher, so we know he can be a third down situational guy. The question is, can he be a every down guy? Can he stop the edge? Can he set the edge? And we won't know that till Pats come on.
You can't be a building block if you can't play all three downs. It's hard to be a specialist and have a building block around a guy just playing second and third and long. Yes, I'm with you.
You know, I can hardly say I can name three other players more than Chop. Maybe Greg Dulcich. Juju Brents. But, yeah, Chop would be up there. No, Dante Trader.
I think Dante Trader, boy, he looked the part. I don't know what happened. He was hanging out with our former safety up there in Boca, but he came back a different dude, man.
I'm not going to give Minka too much credit because I think Dante Trader would have been a starter last year if he did not get hurt during training camp.
Wow.
I think he would have been the season opening starter.
I thought they were going to go with those veteran guys no matter what.
No. Remember, Ashton Davis got hurt and – it was wide open, and the other safety, Ife Melifonwu, I don't even think he began the season as a starter. So, yeah, I think and Dante immediately got into the playing mix after getting healthy, after sitting out training camp. I think he had like a hamstring injury. He's got talent, he's got ability, he's got intelligence. I think he should have everything he needs to have at least a Chris Clemens-esque season next year.
Yeah. I think Minka's good for him, though, being up there. Minka does his own deal up there and being around a guy that's had a lot of experience and success to come down here. But, yeah, he's acting a lot different. Jordan Phillips, Kenneth Grant, can they have situations where they play together with Zach Sealer? Is there going to be a three-man rotation potentially inside with those guys?
I think this is no different than Kenneth Grant playing Jordan Phillips playing that nose tackles position that who was it that we had last year? Benito Jones. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think we've seen Zach Sealer play the edge throughout his career here, so I'm pretty sure he's going to be playing the edge on first and second downs. And so we're going to have the opportunity to have all three of those defensive tackles on the field together. But ultimately, they're all going to play 400, 500 snaps if they stay healthy. So, you know, whether they're together or not together, I think we should be good.
Yeah. Hey, so I want to ask you, Gordon Wright as a backup running back. We talk about A-Chan all the time, and he's not going to play every snap all year. They just ain't going to work.
Yeah.
So to me, and I know you're going to work off camp a little bit, you think that thing's been told, both those guys have been told that thing's wide open for the two spot coming back in camp starts?
It should be. It should be.
That should be an open competition, by the way. That should be one of your favorite topics, open competition. I agree with you.
Yeah.
One guy's got different gear than the other guy for just straight ahead speed, but they both do some things well. I'm really curious to see if that thing's open, though.
It is. It was one of my biggest disappointments of what I saw in the player practices that we had opportunities to watch. There wasn't enough competition for me. I didn't see a battle. And that was one of the issues that I did have about, I didn't see many battles. And I'm hoping that that's not a preview of what I'm going to see in training camp. I want to see battles. I want to see, and that's the one thing I liked about, one of the few things I liked about Brian Flores, you know, especially in the 2019 season. A guy would have a good practice. A Nick Needham, an undrafted player, would have a good practice. The next day, he was working with the starting unit. The next day, whoever practiced best got elevated up to the starting unit. And you got to see them sort of show you what they can handle. I would hate for us to go into the season where everybody's roles and situations based on their years or their draft status or how high they were drafted or seniority. No, let it be based on performance. And if a guy like Omar Brown is performing like the top safety for 2 days, he should be elevated up.
I don't have
a
problem at that position, but listen, my two number one picks are lining up with the number one group start of camp.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, that's fine. Okay. I don't have a problem.
Let me ask you another one that we beat up all off season besides talking about our pass rusher, Chop Robinson. I want to ask you about Savaya Naya. Everybody's all over the board. When you talk, I could talk to you, you might feel differently. Other guys go, I don't know, man. Just because he's moving to the right side, I don't think it's going to change that much. Who pushes him? If there's going to be one guy, in your opinion, is it Sawyer? Who gets
DJ Campbell? To me, it's
you think DJ
Campbell
gets a chance? 6th round pick out of Texas. You think he's going to get?
Why not?
Yeah,
why not? And keep in mind, DJ Campbell was one of the top high school offensive linemen rated in the nation before he signed with Texas. I think he's a 4-year starter at Texas.
He got a lot of starts. Yeah, I think he's 40
which is
starts.
Not a and he was a right guard exclusive only player. So. Yes, he's learning how to play left guard right now, and he's being cross-trained, but he's a seasoned right guard. Once they put the pads on, we'll be able to tell whether or not Jonah can move people or not, or whether or not Jonah can give you solid protection. It was hard to evaluate Jonah last year because he was going primarily against Kenneth Grant, and they were just both mediocre on mediocre, so it was hard to assess that situation. And I'm not necessarily certain we're going to get anything much different. And we probably won't know whether or not those two players can play until we get to the regular season, until we really unleash the real team.
I think a lot of it, there are going to be guys that look a lot different, as you know, and you've been doing this a long time in the off season of shorts, and then now get into it where it's grinding practice against other teams and the preseason games. It changes. So, I'm kind of – hey, by the way, while I was gone, I got to ask you one question here. I can't let you off the hook. Did you really say if a lot of our young guys play well, we're going to have a chance to win 10 games? Did you say that, yes or no?
Absolutely. No question.
Where do you see 10 wins?
Okay. Here's the thing. Let's just
you can
say,
take it back right now if you want to let this
no,
go.
No.
I mean, if you want people talking, they're talking about that.
No.
ESPN just voted called it the worst roster in the.
That's fine. They got to have their opinion. Everybody got to have their opinion. Malik Willis, let's say he gives you a Jalen Hurts esque season, Jalen Hurts second year. You got a chance to win every game, just based on that. Let's talk about if.
By the way, Malik can't do it by himself. Everybody's talking about Malik needs to do this. Malik needs receivers to get open, a good running game. Go ahead, though.
If five guys give you the Patrick Paul jump that he had last year, going from a backup whose play was to absolute a force.
Yeah.
In one season, right?
Okay.
If he was that guy, though.
By the way, now you're asking for a whole bunch of guys.
Greg Dulcich is that guy.
Nice pickup. Really good.
Jonas Savanai can be that guy. Jordan Phillips could be that guy. Kenneth Grant could be that guy.
Yeah.
We got.
Did you think about saying 7 or 8 wins instead of
Juju can be that guy.
I don't disagree.
Dante Trader could be that guy.
Okay.
There are a lot of players. And my thought to this season is if you get more players who develop and give you a Patrick Paul-esque turn, doesn't even have to be as good as Patrick Paul, but just a guy that you could look at and say, yeah, that's a player right there. We need to lock him up for the future. If you get more of those guys than you have wins, and you find, let's say, 5 of those guys and you have 5 wins, I think you've had a good season. I think you've had an absolutely good season.
You win 10 games. Are you kidding me? 10 games. We might have a celebration down A1A. We might ask Pat Riley if we can do that whole Biscayne Boulevard thing.
The Dolphins went from the 2018, yes, way better management, way better coaching, totally different approach to the organization. But from 2007 to 2008, they made the biggest jump in the NFL history. Did that when they got Chad Pennington at the last minute. And Chad Pennington just stabilized the quarterback position. You never know what can happen in the NFL on any given day.
I don't know. We've never been through this one where we've, like, given all our cap money to the cemetery. It's dead. I mean, we've never done this brand new, brother. So if we're winning with less than half our money and we win 10 games, the GM of the year, the head coach of the year, hell, you might get for coming out with this because 10 and 7?
It's possible.
With the Bills and the Patriots, God bless. I hope you're right.
It's possible if you get good to great talent development. And that's on coaching. I believe this season is a talent development season because nobody's measuring it by wins.
It is, but guys aren't going to work out in this draft. So some guys aren't going to just physically
I didn't say anything about draft picks. Yeah. I did not mention anything.
Well, you better because it's going
to
be about the 21 draft picks the last two drafts, right? It's going to be about 13 and 8, man.
Yeah. It's funny because I'm doing a piece that's probably going to be posted this morning, and I do it annually, which is the top 10 highest paid Dolphins players for this season.
Yeah.
And the salary disparity is so bad that a guy making $3 million, which is Tyrell Dotson, and a guy got signed for $3.25 million, are the ninth and tenth highest paid players on the roster.
You're right. Yeah. I'm guessing it goes Malik Willis, Zach Sealer, and then it really starts to drop off a little bit.
Yeah. And the rookies are up there. The rookies are both, I believe, it's very disturbing.
That's what we came into. When you cleaned it, we knew I started the show this morning. Omar, we can't be surprised about all this when everybody goes, let's go get this guy, let's go get that guy. Hey, what didn't you get from the math class, brother, that we had here months ago about we have no money, minus, plus, minus.
These are all choices, Joe, because you could have had two here as your backup and kept $13 million. These are all choices. So, but Tua's getting paid $52.7 million from the Dolphins.
Yeah,
while they have 30 players this year, while they have 30 players who were signed for the NFL minimum or right around it.
Listen, I'm running way, way late here as I'm getting a signal. Hey, Omar, thanks, man. Thank you. 10 wins. Damn. You really did say it. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Malik Willis could be a baller.
Whatever you've been celebrating with over there, listen, I want to get a little bit if I get a little down over there. Hey, Omar, thank you, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for being with us. Yeah. All right. Omar Kelly with us from the Miami Herald. 10 wins. Good. All right.
That's what happens when you take a week off. He said that to me. I didn't know what to say. At least you didn't get into the whole the first picks don't matter,
no,
all that
man,
stuff.
I didn't give him a chance to do that. No, listen, I want to talk about something else if you start, you're getting off the road a little bit. I'm worried about Omar right now.
And, Joe, it is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale, one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com.
All right, man, we haven't talked to Chris Perkins for a while. Sun Sentinel Dolphins columnist joins us this morning. Perk, before we get into all the football stuff, do you get a chance to take a little vacation, or do you just stay in South Florida, or do you try to get away a little bit? I'm just curious. Nobody knows much about you, Perk.
You know all about my love life and everything. What are you talking about? No, I got back home to Texas for a couple of weeks. I was supposed to be in Madrid right now, but that didn't work out. So I'm spending the rest of my vacation time here in South Florida, man, watching football and waiting for football.
Yeah. Hey, well, I got to ask you. So I get back from my vacation and I read this, I go right to your stuff and I see this headline of do the Dolphins have leadership of Marino, Taylor, and Thomas? And I went, So did you take a little heat for that? Like, are you friggin' serious? Those are the three of the greatest players in the history of this franchise. Like, you were talking about leadership through, like, great play, or help me out, because leadership's obviously very important, but we don't have any of those three guys.
No. So the column was the Dolphins' new trio of leaders, Devon Achane, Aaron Brewer, and Jordan Brooks.
Yeah.
Can this trio take the Dolphins to the success they've sought since the last successful trio, the postseason success of Marino and Jason Taylor and Zach Thomas? Those guys from 98 to 2000 were 3-3 in the playoffs. No other leadership group has won playoff games for the Dolphins. Joe, I don't think this rebuild can be deemed a success unless these dudes win multiple playoff games over a multiple stretch of years, right?
Would you agree with that? Yes, like absolutely.
Yeah, if you win one playoff, right. So that's what I was saying. Can these guys match or exceed what Marino, Zach Thomas, and Jason Taylor did, which I knew that was going to get some eyes on it because you're mentioning these Hall of Famers, but it's right. That's what this group is up against right now.
Yeah, so let's start with it's funny you said that. I wanted to start with Malik Willis, and because everybody, I don't know if you're one of those guys coming out of camp that's like, you know, well, Quinn Ewer should get a chance and Malik shouldn't be handed the job. And I said, listen, man, that changed soon as the Green Bay guys brought a Green Bay guy and paid him what they paid him. That was different. But, you know, we didn't get to see it during camp at all. And you were out there every day. I was out there a lot of days. But he didn't run a lot out there. He rolled around, but he was trying to get timing with players and learn the offense, and he wasn't running. And honestly, that's one of the things that I think he's going to do really, really well, and he's going to take off when he needs to, when he gets a little pissed off. And he's going to take off and have a little Josh Allen in him. What would be a good for you? What should fans expect if he plays all 17 games or close to it as far as running the ball? The little size sample size we've had has been pretty impressive. What would you expect that he could get to?
You know, I wrote about this last week that, look, to me, if Malik rushes for 600 yards and gets 5 yards per attempt and 5 attempts per game, he's going to be among the NFL's top three rushing quarterbacks. That's what it's been the last 3 years. Last year, Josh Allen from Buffalo led the league in rushing at 579 yards.
Right.
But the next two guys were Justin Herbert, 498, Jackson Dart, 487. The year before, it was Jaden Daniels rushing for 891. But, you know, Jaden Daniels and Lamar Jackson, they're freaks.
Right.
If Willis gets around 600 yards and does so wisely, Joe, Josh Allen had to learn how to run, right? You can't run over everybody. Jackson Dart is learning that now. He was examined for concussion 5 times last year because of his reckless running style. If Malik runs wisely, meaning, you know, you're not running into tacklers and taking them on head on, right? Right. So you have to be elusive. You have to know when to go down, when to slide, things like that. He's going to be effective. Now, I'm not saying he's going to lead the Dolphins to a 7 or 8 win season, but he's going to be an effective running quarterback. So that's what I look for. 600 yards rushing, make wise decisions, keep yourself healthy. Don't take any unnecessary risks. But you're right. We didn't see that whole element of Malik's game during the offseason, during OTAs, during minicamp. We're not going to see a whole lot of it in the offseason, in training camp.
Right.
We'll see more of it in training camp and joint practices. So I'm looking forward to him unleashing the second half of his game, if you will.
I'm going to throw some names. I want to know if you agree with this or not. If this team is going to get to part of what you were just talking about, to get back to being a frontline team and winning games and getting in the playoffs, I think we got 6 guys that it's going to have to start with this year. I want to know if you agree with the 6 or you'd add on guys or have different guys. Willis at quarterback, obviously. Proctor at left guard, maybe at right tackle at some point. Savaya Naya, who we moved up to get, has got to be an established, consistent right guard. Chop Robinson, Kenneth Grant. And I threw in the last guy I thought about this, Austin Jackson at right tackle, so that Proctor can stay at left guard this year has got to be a guy that stays healthy. Do you agree with that group or anybody you want to take off moving forward? We need, if we're going to win games this year, those six got to be a big part of it.
Those do, Joe, and you know, if I'm not mistaken, five of those guys are trench guys you named, right? Everybody except for Malik Willis. The Dolphins want to be strong in the trenches. They have drafted that way the last couple of years, right? When you go to Chop and Patrick Paul and Kenneth Grant, Savai Naya and Caden Proctor, that they have looked at the trenches, and then you could throw Jacob Rodriguez in there as a front seven member on the defense. So, yeah, those guys have to come through for you, Joe. But, look, you know, I'm big on Jordan Phillips, the defensive tackle, and Dante Trader, the safety, a couple of fifth-round picks from last year. I think both of those guys are grown men. I think they're ready to take a big leap. I would think they're going to have big years. I would think they're going to be instrumental. And look, Achan has to be in there. And I would say as somebody to catch the ball, whether it's Achan or Greg Dulcich. So there's a big group of guys that have to come around because they don't have that one stud. There's no Tyreek Hill. There's no Jason Taylor, Dan Marino to cover for mistakes for everybody. Yeah. At this point, Joe, it's a group of about 10 guys that really needs to come through. Yeah. Brewer and Brooks.
Yeah, I didn't count those guys because they were good last year. Guys. And if they play the way they did last year, which I expect the guys were really good last year, and Sealer in there as well to play the same way. But you're right about the two fifth-round picks. I think off of the way they looked and the way they looked, and they took mini camp and OTAs like it was a season. I love their attitude and approach to the whole thing. Hey, one guy that's been kind of forgotten about here, and I don't know how you feel about him. I wanted to ask you, is our first third-round pick, Caleb Douglas, 6'4". I mean, he wasn't out there, and so we end up talking about Kevin Coleman and Chris Bell when he comes back, how good he's going to be, maybe and hopefully for the second half of the season. So what's your take on Caleb Douglas coming back after being nicked up? We didn't get to see much of him out there.
Yeah, I'm giving him an incomplete. I have no idea, Joe. But look, and that's I can't get excited about any of those receivers based on what I've seen previously in their career. If we're talking Jalen Tolbert and Tutu Atwell, or if we're thinking about what they could do, and we're talking Caleb Douglas and Chris Bell. Chris Bell is the one that I'm most excited about. Just seeing him, what he did at Louisville, and I know he sustained a knee injury in November, but this kid's skill set is just, you know, I said that he reminds me of Chris Chambers, just a big, physical, strong guy who can do a lot of things. Not saying that you know, Bell is going to be a Hall of Fame receiver or an elite receiver or a multi-Pro Bowl receiver, but he's got a skill set that could really help Malik Willis, that could really help this offense. Good hands, tough, good size, can run a little
real
bit.
Good size.
I'm excited about Chris Bell, but Joe, I just haven't seen enough of these receivers. You know, I'm very, very unsure about them. And even after, I'll probably have this same opinion after training camp and joint practices and preseason games. I'll probably enter the season very unsure about these receivers. There's just not a lot to be excited about at this point.
Hey, I thought more looking at Chris Bell's body. I thought he's Debo Samuel. I really did. I that same no, just
exactly.
a physical right looking
big.
Dude. And I got
right.
He's not a slender guy. So areas that we're most concerned with, and again, we haven't had the pads on going into this camp. I'm gonna throw some areas at you. Pass rusher being able to rush four, does that concern you on the outside? Pass rushers on the outside.
Heck yeah. I mean, look, you're led by Chuck Robinson, who has been inconsistent at best. And then you got Josh Uche and David Ojabo, who, you know, they're going to come in here and try and do their thing, but their best years are probably behind them. There's nobody right now who can consistently get pressure on the quarterback, and that's a major, major problem. That is a huge, huge area of concern right now, Joe.
Okay, you told me how you felt about wide receivers, so I'm going to pass on that one. How do you feel about cover corners with the five or six guys that we have that everybody's kind of been talking about? There, Juju Brents and Chris Johnson and Jason Marshall and Storm Duck coming back and Ethan Bonner and a couple others.
There's potential there, but especially among those top three when you talk about Juju Brents and Jason Marshall on the outside. Chris Johnson, the first-round pick in the slot, there's potential there, Joe. We know that Juju Brent, if he could stay healthy, he's a long kid. I think he's like maybe 6'2" or something like that.
He's a big guy, yeah.
He's a big guy, right? He's long. Look, Jason Marshall showed some good things last year. He battled some injury problems. They had him in the slot, which wasn't his strength. Now he'll almost exclusively be on the outside. I think that's going to help him. And then Chris Johnson, the rookie first-round pick from San Diego State, he's going to play outside and inside. There's potential there, Joe. There's not a whole lot in the backups. I wish they would have kept Kader Kohou. I don't know why they didn't bring him back. He left as a free agent. You know, I like Kader. He's a guy who was a willing tackler, a good slot guy. He's a guy who I thought, who I've always said he's going to be an 8 or 10 year starter in this league. Now, I know he was coming off the knee injury, but I would have liked to have seen them keep Kader. Having said that, though, I do think that the corners are in a better position. Of those three positions, edge rusher, wide receiver, corner, I think corner shows the most promise as far as being a stressed or stressful situation. But I think somebody is going to emerge at corner. I'm not sure about edge rusher and wide receiver, Joe.
We got one of the more interesting competitions. And if you don't think it is, help me out. So Jacob Rodriguez is one of your top picks, and a lot of people thought the best inside linebacker in college football last year. But we got a guy that kind of does all the communication and stuff we're talking about him with in Tyrell Dotson. I don't think all three of those guys are going to play together very much, unless you do. So what happens there? Because they want to play a lot of their draft picks. Is there a chance Dotson going to lose some playing time? How do you look at it coming out of and getting ready to start first camp for Jacob Rodriguez?
So, man, Joe, this is something I'm excited about, really. Jeff Hafley, the head coach, is a former defensive coordinator. He's going to be calling the defense. Sean Duggan has the title of defensive coordinator. This is going to be half defense. I'm looking for creativity here, Joe, and I want to see what they can do, because you've got six linebackers who can potentially play, right? When you look at the veteran starters who return – with Jordan Brooks and Willie Gay and Tyrell Dotson, and then the three that you drafted with Jacob Rodriguez, like you said, Trey Moore, and then Kyle Lewis. Kyle Lewis is the guy who can play that big nickel, who can defend a tight end like Jonnu Smith and Trey McBride and Brock Bowers. So he has a role, but he could get more roles because he's so versatile. Trey Moore is a guy who could play, who could rush the passer, and then maybe do some pass defense. We'll see what he can do, versatility. And then with Jacob Rodriguez, like you said, this guy is a ball hawk. He's a good – he could play some weak side linebacker. He could play some middle linebacker. He could be a green dot guy. You've got a lot of possibilities with these guys, with athleticism, pass rushing, coverage, run stopping.
Yeah.
I want to see what they do with those six linebackers. So that's where I want to see half creativity – his personnel judgment, his scheme, all of that kind of stuff. That's going to tell us a lot about Hap, the way they incorporate those six linebackers. I'm really, really looking forward to what they do with them, those guys in camp.
Yeah, you feel like there's going to be a lot of guys rotating into different down and distances on both sides of the football. Perk, man, it's great getting caught up with you and helping explain that article, because you scared me when I was trying to find the three Hall of Famers. I got scared. So you... By the way, did anybody say anything about that? Like, Perk, that's the three names you came up with? Damn, those are three greatest players we've had recently right there. Yeah.
And look, you know, I do a podcast every Wednesday night with Seth Levitt and O.J. McDuffie, the fish tank.
Yeah.
Seth texted me the day that article came out. You're going to be here Wednesday night, right? You got to explain this column. Oh, my Seth, chill out. I'll be there Wednesday night tonight, 9 o'clock. And I'll have to explain it further, because I know Seth Levitt and O.J. McDuffie were they've raised their eyebrows. So that's going to be good. I'll offer a bigger explanation tonight.
Hey, man. Good stuff, Perk. Always appreciate it, brother. Thank you.
All right, Joe. We'll talk.
All right. Chris Perkins, Sun Sentinel Dolphins columnist, joining us this morning. Really? You pick for our top of the leadership, you picked those three guys. I explained it a little bit there, man. Right now, I want to talk to you about speaking of leadership. When it comes to strong trucks. Anyway, we got all that. We got football less than 3 weeks away. I see our football writers going, "Hey, less than 3 weeks away now, man." And we'll be talking. I wanted to say one thing here. We talked about earlier, and the Dolphins are clearly behind every team and what everything's going on right now. It's just a fact. It's not up for debate. It's truly. When you throw in the five professional teams we have in this town and the Canes, who are now a professional team, as our main products down here, the Dolphins are behind everyone. They're behind in every way. And what they had to do because of, I don't know what other word to use except in past dysfunction until they finally cleaned it up, and it's going to take a while. It's going to take a little bit, hopefully not a long time, but it's going to take, you're going to have to take a patience pill. If you're expecting some crazy season where they're going to win a lot of games, I wish Omar wouldn't say that. I think it's terrible because it's just, we got a lot of guys playing this game for the first time, and we got a lot of guys that haven't done it at the highest level yet. We got a handful that have, but not enough. And we got to find more. I do love this GM. I love this head coach. I do. Finally, we cleaned house. I mean, we cleaned house in the front office. We cleaned house in the coaching staff. We got rid of a lot of guys that were just not worth the money and injured guys. Tyreek Hill, hell, he may not play this year. Tyreek Hill may not play this year. We can pump everything up and where's he going to go? And he's going to be great with Kansas City. A lot of people don't think he's going to play this year. He's not going to be able to play.
Yeah, I saw that the other day. That's tough.
We didn't talk about that. It's terrible, man. It's terrible. And I don't wish that on Tyreek Hill.
You don't see him playing again, right?
No.
Yeah.
I just.
That's crazy, man.
The last thing you want to do is hurt that thing again.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. That's between he and the team doctors who. Baptist health doctors have taken care of them and all those things. But again, the Dolphins, before everybody goes getting lathered up, and I'm pumped up to see all these young guys, and I call them the 21 club, the last two drafts, and see what you get out of them, because that's what it's got to be built around. You went cheap on the free agency, and you got a handful of guys that are really good players that you're able to keep, and Sealer and Brooks and – you know, you can go through the whole list. Brewer, and you signed your running back, who's one of the better seven or eight running backs in football. And you got a couple nice offensive linemen that, you know, just need to stay healthy. Patrick Paul is going to be a really good one and really good left tackle. So you got some pieces there, but there's going to be growing pains of how good everybody's going to be, and nobody knows. We're doing our list of who's going to have the breakout year and all that stuff. A lot of teams aren't doing who's got the breakout. And we are. We don't know which guys are going to work out. We hope all our top draft picks are putting a lot on Chop Robinson as well in his third year as a first-round pick and what Chop can do. So that's all. But I'm not going to sit here and just say to get everybody lathered up, the Dolphins going to win 10 games. I just don't think that's fair. It's not fair to the coach. It's not fair to the GM, it's not fair to what they're trying to do, considering they lost more than half their money to dead cap money. Dead cap. That money might as well be in a cemetery.
Optimism.
I know, but
you guys did that last year, in fairness.
What?
You guys are big on that last year.
Well, I thought they still had a chance.
Yeah, they didn't.
I did. By the way, Lefty took a big step backwards last year.
You don't say.
To the point that he got run out of town.
Texter said we're behind on everything except fandom. This is a Dolphins town.
I agree.
Well, we'll see, man.
We'll see
what it's like if they ever win.
No, I agree, man. If they ever get this thing and they come back and they got a team that's built the right way for the right reasons, and you do most of it through the draft and you hit on some guys in your new system offensively and defensively, yeah, it's going to be they're not going away. There's going to be some that are frustrated. I'm done with it. There's going to be some Dolphin fans that stop buying tickets. Stop buying tickets. But they're not going away. The fan base is not going away.
The NFL's like a drug, man. I mean, you're going to watch that thing no matter what.
And by the way,
right?
Of all years to have it, this is set up to have probably the best batch of quarterbacks coming to Hard Rock Stadium I can remember.
Here you go, Joe.
Starting with the top two guys, Mahomes and Allen.
954 said, after listening to Omar and going over the schedule, my friend, I honestly think 10 wins is attainable and a 12-5 record isn't impossible.
You guys need to calm down. I just stop it. Stop it. Stop.
10 wins would be
so
stunning.
Let me tell you what, you start, you preach that stuff and you're in the media, and now you go, instead of 12-5, you go 5-12. And it might be a good 5-12 as far as development of some guys, and yet everybody's going to look at the record.
So you're doing them a disservice.
What do you think? No, what do you think? Don't you have to take a deep breath? Just tell me.
I mean, I think they're going to be terrible, but, you know, I'd like, again, I think there's some intriguing storylines.
I totally agree, Woody. I didn't say anything about the potential of good and seeing what their draft's going to look like, the first draft for.
And like, is Omar right? Like, yeah, I mean, if Malik Willis wins the MVP and all these other rookies end up being all world players, then, you know, maybe it's just not realistic. But
Woody, we've had a bunch of teams that we liked here in recent years, and only one of them won 11 games.
10's hard, man. 10 wins are hard.
Last year's team was 7-10 and could have been 5-12.
Yeah, they didn't feel like a 7-win team.
We got a Saints receiver that drops a ball down the sideline.
Yeah.
And Washington over in Madrid had us play for that last field goal and didn't get close enough. Should have been more aggressive to get it closer for that kicker and missed it. That was game.
It's okay.
Okay. But
I'm with you, man. I don't think this season's going to be, you know, from a win-loss standpoint, going to be
I just want to leave there, but, and going, a lot of guys played well. Hey, Malik might be the guy.
That would be a really nice thing to say, that Malik's the guy.
We give you a lot.
That would be a big
I want to be able to come in and go, hey, man, we had a lot of guys playing well. But people need to understand why we're in this situation. We didn't get all the horsepower that all the other cars have if we're in a race. We don't have it. Matter of fact, we're in the slow lane on 95 while everybody's on the racetrack, just to give you an idea. That slow lane, sometimes they go try to get in the fast lane. You got to run around them, and you're screaming at them and flipping them off and all those crazy things.
I thought
you
weren't doing that anymore.
Trying not to, Woody. Trying to control that blood pressure, brother. Trying to. Hey, we got more stuff to get to. We're running late here. I just wanted to just do it. I just don't like when our writers go out and say 10 wins, and now some guy's going, I actually looked, and I see 12 wins. Hey, man, let me tell you, if that happens, coach of the year, GM of the year, and you're going to have a whole bunch of guys in the Pro Bowl.
They're not winning 12. They're not winning 10.
You just heard that.
I know, but 12? What do you think, they're going to win the division?
Just keep that between you and your family if you feel that way.
And the only way that happens is if Josh Allen announces his retirement before the season.
I think it's more
winning the division.
Do you see this? The quarterbacks for home, for the teams you're playing.
What's the difference, man? Like, no, every team that comes in is probably going to be better.
All right, hey, listen, we got to go to break here. Yeah, we got. No, listen.
From a talent standpoint, on paper, right now, yeah, they have the worst roster in football. Arguably.
I got to tell you, if you're going to get a game, you need to get that first game against Vegas. That's got to be on your list of, like, they got their own problems. They got first pick overall for a reason, man. All right. Hey, listen, we got to go to break. I said before, we got a lot of other stuff to get to. So, Rasul Douglas, defensive back for the Dolphins last year, had a really nice year. I got to tell you what, man, Jack Jones and Rasul Douglas for picking guys up during camp, and I don't mean mini camp. I mean during summer camp when you're getting ready for games. Those guys both played a lot better than I thought they would and ended up having really solid seasons. Not Pro Bowl. Rasul Douglas, I thought, for a guy that doesn't run like he used to, he played great. 15 games played, two picks, defended 13 passes, broke up, got one-on-one down the middle. He was great at reading routes and did great. So he's moving on the Washington Commanders. And Jack Jones, who played on the other side, started all 17 games. And a couple months ago, he signed with San Francisco. But I wanted to bring this up. But this happens, Woody, as you know, too. So every time our veteran guys go to another team, everybody's going, why went the Dolphins? Like, what didn't you get when we started this whole thing, going back to dead salary cap money? What did you not get that we were going young this year? Young and dumb. That's what we're doing, man. Like, and why aren't we getting these veterans to come in? I don't know. Juju Brents, Storm Duck, Jason Marshall, Ethan Bonner, Chris Johnson, our first-round pick. Signed a guy, Baker, who I don't know, didn't have a great year last year, going to get another chance, but that's where they are, man. They, whatever it is, whether it was a personality from our guys that they didn't want and didn't feel they should be on this team, or they just want to play young guys. I'm sure they know if we're just lining up guys you could trust, Rasul Douglas with his experience would have been probably the best for you, but not the future. Got a one-year contract. Jack Jones got a one-year contract. Again, they're not changing, man. Every time some name pops up, they're not changing because you like the name and recognize it and remember some plays they made last year. This should not be a surprise to anybody. I call it lazy writing. Like, oh, why would we not sign Rasul Douglas? What? I could have told you that. Your wife could have told you that at home. She doesn't follow the team. Jack Jones and Rasul Douglas weren't coming back. Hell, we picked them up. Funny part of it is they end up being nice pickups considering. Think about that. You have to pick up two guys because you didn't trust what you had on the team last year when you thought you could win. And there was a big divide on this team last year from the top down. A lot of people said, no, we got a playoff kind of team. We just need to stay healthy. And the other half said, this is not reality. We're not going to be a good football team. This thing's about ready to cave. And if the wrong guys get injured, you're toast. And things are really bad on that team, guys. I mean, I not going to get into all the story. Things are bad. And when they made a couple of moves, and I think it got bad in the front office, got bad. And then they let Chris go. Then a couple of his lieutenants got let go that have been here way too long, by the way. Way too long. Dave Hyde's the only one that called it out years ago. Chris didn't like the article, and Dave was right on the money. And then on top of that, he had to make some changes, starting with that QB with three games left. He did not take it well. It was ugly. It was ugly, and a lot of people saw it. So, they're going a different way. These two guys got to clean all that up. All that's got to be cleaned up, all on the same team. We can't have backstabbing, which, by the way, in some cases has nothing to do with the players. Everybody's got to be on the same page. The GM and the head coach will not turn on each other. They will be on the same page. So that's good stuff. But we can't every time. There's going to be more guys that haven't signed that are going to sign, and you can't go, oh, my God, that we got to get them. We're not going to get them. Again, Juju Brents, Storm Duck, Jason Marshall, guy we drafted last year. Ethan Bonner's going to get a chance. Chris Johnson's going to start. First-round pick. Those are the guys. If we run out, then maybe they pick up a veteran guy if it's that bad. But they're going to give those guys every chance to grow. Like your grass in the summer, let it grow and see what happens. Anyway,
you needed a culture change over there too, man. So getting guys out of there is—that was key, right? You need just a full change.
Yes.
From what it was.
Yes.
There have been a lot of patch jobs over the years.
It was.
I don't know how bad. I mean, I'm guessing.
No, man. It was shaky when things started. It was shaky. Everybody trying to put a spin, but I think everybody's kind of going, if this doesn't work this year, there's going to be a lot of pressure. Like, they're going to start getting rid of guys. And first, Chris. Chris went first. And then it just started from there. People going, uh-oh, watch out. Now everybody calls, watch your ass and look for knives in your back because it's a bad combination. We got a lot more stuff to get to here this morning as we continue on. Otto Lopez, man. Otto Lopez. Well, I tell you what, we love players that play great. We love players that are really good and the best at what they do. Otto Lopez is one of the best stories the Marlins have had in a long, long time. It really is. What a great story. Shortstop for the Marlins going to the All-Star game and just putting up stupid numbers. 346 batting average. 123 hits, 43 RBIs, 9 home runs, stole 17. I mean, those numbers, man, a little more than halfway through this season. And on the cheap. They got him on the cheap right now. Anyway, we got to go to break a lot more. Seattle is in town for a 3-game set starting tonight. Right now, I want to tell you about Atlantic.